the changing hormones of the menstrual cycle impact our brain and they impact the concentration or the secretion or the reuptake. Talking about like dopamine and serotonin, these neurotransmitters we hear a lot about in the context of ADHD.
Hi, ADHDer. Did you know that coaching worldwide is a $2.85 billion industry? Maybe you, like me, have also noticed that it's saturated with a lot of neurotypical and traditional ways of motivation and achievement. ADHD coaching is different. It's specialized for the ADHD brain. This means that coaches understand the intricacies of the ADHD brain in order to provide support that can lead us to real and achievable results. I'd love to show you how it works. Welcome to our ADHD podcast. Welcome to Coaching ADHD. Hello, everyone. My name is Camden Hainsworth, and on behalf of the ADHD Directory and Coaching Connection, I am pleased to welcome you to today's Coaching ADHD presentation titled ADHD and the Menstrual Cycle. So if you have ADHD and you have a menstrual cycle, you may notice that your symptoms change, and it might just be more than your ADHD ups and downs. The solution possibly could be to track your menstrual cycle. Leading today's presentation is Sophie Krupp. Sophie is an incredible coach. She taught and coached 2 years in corporate. She's had her own coaching business for over 2 years now, and she was trained as a midwife. You can follow her on Instagram at the ADHD Cycle. And before I hand the mic over to Sophie and I to start talking a little bit more about this, a few housekeeping items. If you are listening on the replay or podcast mode, please follow the link in the show notes to become a member of the Coaching Connection. So pleased to welcome you, Sophie, to the call. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's dive right into it. Will you talk to us about this shift in your coaching with ADHD and the menstrual cycle and what springboarded that into action?
Yeah, no, it was kind of a surprise to me, honestly. I was coaching people who had menstrual cycles. And I noticed that there would be this very clear cycle of like being on top of everything, feeling like their support was effective, followed by like self-sabotaging behavior, which I don't love that term because I don't think anybody's ever trying to hurt themselves. But I think that culturally, that's kind of what we label that behavior. So like waking up late and then being embarrassed. So then not going to work and then being embarrassed about that. So then not like
snowball effect.
Yeah. Of your boss. Yeah, exactly. That like very clear snowball. And, it was around that time that I had actually been diagnosed with PMDD myself. So that stands for something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's kind of like PMS on steroids. And so I started to understand that there was the cycle connection for myself. And when I noticed this clear cycle for other people of like really being on top of things and then struggling, I got really curious about the connection with the menstrual cycle. So at that time, I had been tracking my own cycle for a few years really carefully. And so that's when I started asking the people I was working with to start tracking their cycle. I was like, hey, any chance you're open to tracking your menstrual cycle? Cause I'm really just curious. And I taught them how to do that and they did it. And it became obvious very quickly that there was this overlapping pattern between their menstrual cycle and these behaviors. And then I went into the research to look for like understanding. And that's when it got even clearer that the changing hormones of the menstrual cycle impact our brain and they impact the concentration or the secretion or the reuptake. So basically how long these little chemicals are in our brain in relation to our hormones. And so I'm talking about like dopamine and serotonin, these neurotransmitters we hear a lot about in the context of ADHD. And so that's when I really started to get clued in that there's this link and I wanted to dig in further. Wow. So that's kind of the high level, like summary version of how I got interested.
I love it. Okay. So first off, so cool that you took something that was so hard for you and then turned it into, you know what, I'm going to figure this out and then help other people. So thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, taking one for the team and making it worth it for the rest of us per se, in a way saying that, I'm curious about you know, is there a general way that you could talk about what tracking your cycle looked like with you and your clients? Maybe a high overview of what you could share of what that might look like. And then we can get into maybe a little bit more of the impact of ADHD, like what it looks like day in and day out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really good question. And I notice sometimes they say track your cycle very like casually, and that's not a specific thing. Like, if somebody said that to me 10 years ago, track your cycle, I'd be like, I know when my periods are. But what I'm talking about really is the four stages of the menstrual cycle. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I did not know there were four stages, please do not feel bad. This is something that we were not taught mostly in our lives. Even as a midwife, this is information I had to actively seek out. And so the four stages of the menstrual cycle are your menses, or your period. So this is when you bleed, your follicular phase. This is when your estrogen is really high and you're kind of building up, so to speak. The middle of your cycle is ovulation. So that's when an egg is available. And there's a few hormones that spike right at that time. And then after that is your luteal. So your luteal is more dominated by progesterone and estrogen's dropping. And in your own brain, I want you just to think like luteal. Oh, that's like my PMS time. If you have PMS, like luteal is that like 1 to 2 weeks right before you bleed. So just to kind of put that in your brain. And so really when I say track your cycle, what I'm saying is I want people to figure out a way, if they have a menstrual cycle that is, they're not currently on like birth control, there is a different method actually for that. You know, Camden, you and I were talking about this earlier, that like you can still track it. It just looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
But if you don't, so if you're not on a medication, you're just kind of cycling as your body would. What you mainly want to understand is when you're ovulating. And so there's a few different ways to do that. The easiest way, in my opinion, is to track your mucus. And I talk about this more in my workshops and on my Instagram page. Like, I have some visuals of this, but essentially what you're doing is after you go to the bathroom, you're like wiping and then you're looking at the toilet paper and you're seeing if you see clear egg white mucus. And so when you have that this like very clear stretchy mucus, that's a sign that you're ovulating. And I'm overgeneralizing a lot. But generally speaking, it's the last day that you have that mucus is your ovulation day. And the reason that's helpful is because once you figure out when you're ovulating, you know when you're moving into that luteal phase, which is where people tend to experience like heightened ADHD symptoms. Some people pee on little strips. Some people track with their temperature. There's a lot of different ways to track it, but when I say track your menstrual cycle, I'm really talking about understanding which phase you're in.
Perfect. That's really helpful. Okay. So we're understanding which phase we are in of the entire menstrual cycle. And then would you also, it sounds like, take note of how you're feeling, like your emotions during that time, or things that, you know, month to month, you start seeing connections like, oh, this is when I start to feel like this, or I start to feel more negative toward myself, or I start to have doubting thoughts, or I feel like on top of the world and I can conquer everything. So I sign up for 10,000 things in 1 week, right? Like, yeah. is that something that with your clients you've done in the past? So there's like the tracking, but then what do you do with that information?
Yeah. A lot of things, I think. I think in general, the big like takeaway from understanding your cycle is, I think understanding your cycle and where you're at in it improves all of your relationships. Mm. So your relationship with yourself, your relationship with other people, your relationship with partner, children, work, like all of it, relationship with food. Yeah, like you said, the first step is really understanding what's happening in each phase for yourself. And I think as somebody with ADHD, that can be a little bit tricky. I feel like, at least for myself, sometimes it's hard to have that self-awareness. And so I talk about, like, if you see a therapist once a week, letting them know, because they might actually see these trends a little bit easier. Yeah. Tell my partner. Sometimes with my clients, what I would have them do is once they ovulate, I would have them write on a note card, like two sentences about their day or about themselves. And then do that every 3 days until they got their period. And sometimes that's a little bit clearer. And so, yeah, like you said, again, it's really kind of taking note of these trends in an ADHD friendly way.
Hey, it's Camden. Just going to pop in here real fast. I hope you're enjoying today's episode. And if you are, you'll probably love The Coaching Connection. The Coaching Connection is a one-time payment, lifetime membership of over 25 different ADHD coaches and specialists. They're going to have coaching. They're going to have education sessions, and we're going to have skill sessions. In addition to all of that, in the call archive, we have live calls every month as well. So check it out. All the information's in the show notes. Now back to the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's so good. And I kind of giggle a little bit only because before we hopped on this podcast here, this call, I was telling Sophie a little bit about, since she started talking about this in a really digestible way. So literally people sign up for her webinars because it has been so helpful for me to get to know myself. But I was talking to my husband just this weekend, and on Saturday it was, I went out for a 3 mile walk. So I went and walked 3 miles, and it was at mile three. So I was like, you know, end of mile two, starting mile three. And I was listening to a very like emotionally evoking song. And mm-hmm. I on my walk just started crying. I was just really like releasing a lot of the stress and the anxiety that I was feeling surrounding my business, surrounding big decisions I was having to make. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I'm on a walk. Like, why am I feeling so in tune with these emotions? And there was nothing wrong. I guess I would say this is different, right? Usually I don't cry on my walks. This is different. And I was telling Sophie that the first thing I go to is ADHD. Like, so I loved how you said in an ADHD friendly way. I go to ADHD. I'm like, Camden, you have big emotions. You feel very big. You feel very deeply. This is okay. Self-acceptance. And now, like I was telling Sophie, the second thing that I do is I go, boop, what time of the month is it? And when do I know that I'm going to start menses? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
When am I going to start to bleed?
Yeah.
So when this is being recorded, it's like the last week of October, and I usually start at the beginning of the month ish. Well, at least that's what I am now. And so I'm like, oh, that's like, you know, in a week. So when we're talking about this luteal phase, is that what you're saying? You know, it's kind of making sense that that was the case. And so I came home and I talked to my husband. I said, hey, P.S. And this is the first time I've ever communicated this with him in this way. P.S. I am feeling very emotional these days. I have big decisions, and I am in the next couple weeks, I will probably be starting my period, as we kind of conditioned to say, and I'm still very capable and I'm still very human, but just know that my emotions are on the, you know, I'm feeling big emotions, and it doesn't mean that I'm caring about things less or more. It's just that I might need a little bit more time to transition. I might need a little bit more time to think about, you know, talking about our finances. I might need a little bit more cushion and lovingness and patience in terms of getting these things done, not because I am less of a human, but because this is the phase of life that I am in right now. And if we want to get things done in our family, we need to honor that and not ignore it. So hopefully that will continue.
That is pretty amazing what you just said. Like, I just want to give you the biggest gold star. Like, that is incredible, because I think that we, at some point, we have to surrender to, like, we can't control ourselves, but we can, like you so beautifully said, offer ourselves cushion and space. And I think I actually have a video, like a reel that I did with Legos about like our window of tolerance and how it kind of closes when we're in our luteal phase. And it's not about like just fitting ourselves into a smaller window, but maybe it's about actually adding extra support and extra time and extra space to expand our window again. Mm. And so I think that like you modeling that is such a beautiful thing for your relationship with yourself, because then it allows other people to step into space with you of like, oh, I just need to like go a little slower or a little softer, a little, you know. And I know you have girls also. And I feel like that's beautiful modeling for them. Yeah.
I hope that I can like get aware enough to be a good coach, mom coach, you know, by the time that they start their menstrual cycle, because right now it's like so much of my work. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I'm going to have to navigate 5 of us. All synced up, you know, like, I'm glad you laughed because that's the reality of it. I'm like, I will have my normal clients and then I will have my little clients.
You're like, I can laugh or I can cry.
And that's when I will hire Sophie.
And we will probably do both. And even if like, it's not about specifically that pattern, like just modeling, like when you're more tender, it's not about turning away from yourself. It's not about pushing people away. It's about softening into yourself. And
I love that.
I feel like there's actually a lot of wisdom in like having the big emotions come through a little easier. I think sometimes it's really annoying and inconvenient to like have that threshold lowered, but and other times I think it can be easier to kind of access our own intuition. And I think that especially people with ADHD, I think culturally we've been kind of dismissed in certain ways to like not always listen to ourselves or also just a little harder for us to listen to ourselves. And so maybe that's a time when, we can actually listen to that a little bit, like, oh, I'm having a big reaction to this and that's okay. When you told me what you said to your husband, first of all, good job. Cause if you've never talked about that with him in this way, I think that's huge.
It is huge. It's a really, like I said, it was new. It was a little uncomfortable, but it was like, no, we do this to move forward. So
good job. I actually have a lot of very close friends that don't have menstrual cycles and I teach them everything about the menstrual cycle. And it's one of my favorite things. I love actually teaching partners because I think it's a powerful tool for both people. But one thing I was going to say is when we think about this cycle, I really want people to also think about that luteal phase and how can they communicate non-verbally. So one of the things that at least for me has been really clear is that the ability to do what we're doing right now and very clearly verbally articulate what's happening can kind of also go down for some people. And so really looking to other ways of communication, does this look like when you're in this phase of your cycle, you put a magnet out on your fridge? Does it look like playing a certain song that signals to your partner, like, this is when I need extra support, like a special song for you guys. Does it look like in your bedroom, you have a big chart of your cycle that's color coded? And I teach actually how to do a color coded chart, in my workshop. But like, imagine if it was so clear for you where you're at, because you're like, oh my God, it's all purple now. And your partner could look at it and be like, oh, she's in the purple. Like, this is when we got to do some extra support.
And so I'm like, really, and then next to that, like have your extra support list of ways that you can be supported and then you can point to the one that you need.
Well, I talk to people about that, about creating their personal lists. Actually. Yeah. Like, I know in some models of coaching, they talk about like your manual. And so I talk about that, like giving people your list is so valuable for them and for yourself. Yeah.
So. This is blowing my mind to a degree right now. And I'm going to get a little bit even more personal because why not? Yeah. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about this communication thing being so difficult in the luteal phase, I did not know that. And you're blowing my mind because the past week or so, I went from being able to articulate everything so well that I was feeling inside of me and where I want the direction of my businesses to go and all those things, to so completely internal that I wish I could just like paint a collage. Like that's like that words were not sufficient for the level of the complex thought processes that were happening inside of me, that it didn't make sense. And we're going to get like personal into Camden. Like I am a prayer. I believe in prayer. And I was having even trouble asking my higher power for a question. And so in my study, I literally had to write out, God, I am asking you for dot, dot, dot. And then in my prayer, I literally said that out loud, which is not normally, it's just conversation for me.
Yeah.
But I had to write out a sentence so that I could fill in the sentence because I was lacking so much in my communication, even with a higher power. Like it's yeah. so interesting to me how you have said that, because I'm seeing how I can show up for myself even better during this phase. And especially with ADHD, when we have so many thoughts all the time, it feels like a limb's been cut off to a degree to not be able to communicate. It's very odd. It's like, I don't even know where to start. So I'm just going to remain quiet. No wonder we sometimes withdraw.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is so powerful. And I wish I could just have that on blast for all people with ADHD and a menstrual cycle. Cause it's like, I say the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't hit people always until they're ready to hear it. Like I can sit there and say it impacts this, this, this. And then it's like maybe the 20th time I've told them, they're like, oh my God.
Now it has context.
And so I challenge people in those moments. Like everything with this, I really, in a perfect world, I want people to move away from shame and into compassion. So for you, in that moment when you're like, I cannot verbalize to my husband, I cannot verbalize to my higher power, like verbalizing auditorily is not super accessible right now. To think about what other ways do I need to be communicating? Right. Do I need to be moving my body in communication? Do I need to be making a collage? Do I need to just take out some markers and do colors? Because we have become so verbally focused, I think. And if you look back historically, so many cultures have long traditions of other ways of doing even today, worship and communication. And I think that that's really important to remember from a form of grace, not
totally.
I can't even do this thing, but from I am being asked to do it a different way right now.
Totally. And it's so liberating to know. It's like I said, my mind is going in so many beautiful places here, because this is a belief I have that there isn't just one way to do things, that no one person has a monopoly on all the ways to discover truth, to discover self. There's so many incredible ways to embrace this. And now you put this aspect and it makes, I don't want to say a timeline, but it makes it accessible that during this time of the month, a pattern. Yeah. During this time of the month, I know that and we'll just call it worship for Camden. Okay. My worship is going to be internal and through song, listening to songs, and it's going to be through dance maybe, and through gratitude and noticing the beauty around me. That's what it's going to sound like. And to piggyback this in terms of entrepreneurship as well, I know lots of ADHDers are entrepreneurs, so I want to highlight this. I have also seen, and just looking at the time, I've also seen that there's been some people that have said, hey, don't make really big decisions during this time of your menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. Okay. But also I want to piggyback to what you just said about honoring our feelings and the gut impressions, and how when our feelings are very close to the surface, that might be intuition. And this month I had to make a hard decision. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to make a hard decision during my luteal phase. And that was because I had already been thinking about it all month. And what I actually needed was the emotional confirmation that this was something good. It was hard, but this was something good. And to celebrate and to honor the luteal phase that was allowed me to get to that emotional place and say, yes, this is what I want. And I still gave it 3 days.
Yes.
Still allowed myself to have the days to make sure that it still felt good in the same decision throughout that time, having already been thinking about it for a few months. But I don't think we have to dismiss it per se as much as we get to know ourself inside of our own menstrual cycle. And that's the power of coaching, right? And the power of the work, that we can honor each part of us, each part of that cycle. So exciting, Sophie.
Gosh, Camden, you're blowing my mind. I'm yes, I want you to speak to all my people, because it's so true. What you're saying Yeah. I like that you still give yourself space, but you're like, oop, that's not something I'm going to dismiss. It's going to be something I know. I always say like, it's usually the right thing, but it comes out spicier during that time.
Oh, that's, you know, awesome.
Like,
yeah.
Like write it down. A week later, you might be like, that's definitely true. It's not that extreme, but like, it's definitely true, you know? But yeah, eventually I am hoping, I've been saying this for like 2 months, but really I'm trying to get a good manufacturer for t-shirts that people can wear in their luteal phase to alert people. I really want an ethical company. So it's just taken longer to find a good manufacturer, but like, you know, just having different tools that you already have to kind of alert yourself and other people that this is a different, like a different space that you're in, I think.
Yeah. It's so smart. I love the ideas that you're bringing up. This is so, so helpful. I think that we could talk about this forever, but in the, you know, constructs of time today, are there any last things that you would love to bring up to our listeners right now?
I mean, I think that the like final takeaways is like, how can you understand your pattern in a way that allows you to move out of shame and into connection and compassion? Mm-hmm. So like visually, like if you're imagining a person like moving away from themselves versus moving towards themselves, I think understanding your menstrual cycle allows for that reconnection. And I really, really, really like, if you're listening to this right now, maybe write this down or pause it. You need to visually represent this somewhere, whether that's in your phone or on a piece of paper, set reminders. Like when you're in this phase, it's very easy to forget. Like you said, Camden, you're like, okay, yeah. I'm checking with my ADHD and I check my cycle. I can say personally, sometimes when I'm struggling in that phase of my cycle, it's every 3 hours. I have to have like a little post-it that says like, during this time, this is how you feel. And then I'm like, why is everything so hard? And then I look at my post-it like, oh.
Because you don't believe it, because it does feel real. And it is real inside of us. You know, like it's inaccessible and almost like we have to have this like, and I don't want to be insensitive here, but when you are experiencing, I had a grandfather who went through dementia and, you know, needed those reminders of where he was and what his life looked like. And I'm not comparing this to dementia, but it just reminds me of, we have to show up for ourselves when our own brain and body is struggling to show up for us.
Yes.
In that way. And that is the loving thing that we can do, because it does not feel like it's not going to be the end of the world.
No, it really doesn't. And I think it's a huge gift you can give yourself and to the people around you to keep having reminders. And then the last thing is, when I talked about like shame versus compassion and connection, I really do urge people to move towards connection, which is often the last thing we want to do. And so that can be a spiritual connection, like you talked about. It can be even in nature. It can be with friends. I think community is a really powerful connection during this time. Especially community where it's not so focused on talking, you know, like if you're a singer and you go to like a singing thing, or you go dancing, or you go to just listen to music. I think connection is really kind of the medicine during this time, even though it can feel like the last thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Sophie. This has been helpful and insightful and exciting and hopeful, if I didn't already say that. Just knowing that the way that we're feeling isn't wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember on our first talk, when you first talked about this, I said, this is like the same feeling that I had when I got my ADHD diagnosis. This is like a second almost diagnosis, even though I've always had a menstrual cycle since I first did. Right. But it's this understanding of my body that is new and fresh and so helpful. So thank you very much for being here with us today and helping us there.
I do have one last thing to say.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry.
We're ADHDers. This is how we do things.
First of all, thank you so much for having me, because my whole goal is to just actually, like you taught me, to like megaphone out, you know, like I just want people to have this information so badly. This is not like, I currently don't make much, you know, really any money in this space. You know, we'll see what happens.
This is your passion next. Project. This is but your
it's
community.
Very, like, my background is in public health. I feel very passionate about this. And along those lines, this is why I want to say this last thing, which is if you are really struggling in this stage of your cycle and you feel like you are not okay, I really urge you to talk about this with your healthcare provider. And get support, because I don't believe people need to struggle so much. We do know that people who are neurodivergent are more likely to have PMDD, which is that condition I talked about in the beginning. Definitely not everybody, but much higher than the average population. And that's something where there are treatments and support for that can make this less intense. And so that's my final little like plug. You know, if you're super struggling and this is resonating, if you go on my Instagram, all of my videos that talk about this have studies in the comments that I cite. And I really recommend printing those out before you go, because it might not be something your doctor knows about. This is like brand new information. And so, yeah, that's just one little
plug. Thank you. That's perfect. I'm so glad that you included that, because it can be something very deep. I know we've had a lot of exciting breakthroughs during this time, but the reason why there's breakthroughs is because the lows are so low sometimes. And so thank you so much for taking care of our people in a very compassionate and helpful way. Like a very, what's that called? Able to actually just do something about it.
Actionable.
Sure. We'll go with that. <You're good. laughs> Thanks, Sophie, so much. Remind us one more time where we can find you if we wanted to contact you and learn more.
Yeah. So my Instagram is the ADHD cycle. I do best with direct messages. I often respond with audio. And then my website is sophiecrupp.com, and that's where I post about my workshops. And I also do one-on-one education if you're a learner that likes to just sit down with somebody, have them draw it all out and teach it to you specifically. I always offer that option as well. So
amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And excited to have you back another time. Thanks, Sophie. We'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Coaching ADHD. If you'd like to know more about ADHD coaching, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and join our lifetime membership inside the Coaching Connection. You can find that information here in the show notes or follow us on Instagram at the ADH Directory.